The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as the Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here's David Hayes.
Hey there, welcome to episode number 19 of 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Of course, that is the metaphor of my football playing and coaching days where we talk about time is ticking, time is running out, the time to go is now. We're going to speak on this more today as we continue to remind everyone that the 2017 tax cuts that are set to expire at the end of 2025 give us a real unique opportunity to act now and save ourselves from taxes destroying our retirement accounts before they go up for good. All right, so this show, this episode is going to be a reinforcement of things and how maybe the folks in the government aren't as big a dummies as what some people think. But let's start to go through the math. Currently, we are over $30 trillion in debt. Our IRS revenues are at all-time highs, which means we are bringing in more money now than we have ever brought in the history of the United States. So once again, we are still running these budget deficits, and we are getting proposed a budget that will also run significant deficits. What does that mean? That means we're spending more than we are bringing in. And remember, with nearly 90% of total revenues that are being brought in, pay for just four things: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the interest on our debt. It is disturbing to think about where we could go from a tax perspective in the future. Now, why would it be proposed, and this is where I want to kind of line things up for you, why would it be proposed to pass an even longer delay for required minimum distributions when our government so desperately needs our money? The SECURE Act II, which passed through Congress, which proposed pushing required minimum distribution age to 75, is in the hands of the Senate, kind of going through its birdbath of sorts. But they did release what is one of the first drafts, and it looks like they are maybe going to stick with this idea of changing required distributions to age 70 that were 70 and a half, went to 72, and now potentially at 75. So let's first talk about how a budget is made. Remember, the president submits a budget request to Congress. Lawmakers release their own budget plans, and they set overall spending levels with a budget resolution. House and Senate subcommittees set funding for each program through the appropriations bill. House and Senate members come together to resolve their differences. That is kind of funny because rarely do they resolve any differences, but to pass a budget, they're going to have some compromise in their appropriation bill. And then the budget returns to the president for his signature before it becomes law. Now, the way this works, they look at the current situation we're in, they talk about proposed for next year, and then they usually will give a 10-year budget forecast. And that's where the Congressional Budget Office gets involved. But typically, budgets are looked at as next year, what it's going to look like, but then project what this will look like for the next 10 years. So here's the disturbing part. The next budget is projected to be about another $1 trillion underwater, and will be for the next 10 years. So that's over $10 trillion, and they always miss it to the low side. They're never on the high side when it comes to budget deficits. At a glance, the Congressional Budget Office, they publish reports, they present its baseline projections of what the federal budget and the economy would look like in the current year and over the next 10 years if current laws governing taxes and spending generally remain unchanged. The report is a latest in a series that continues to come out over and over and over. And then normally the CBO will say, hey, based on what we're seeing, tax rates need to be this for us to pay for that. And it's always significantly higher and generally double what we're close to paying now. So that's been the narrative is, hey, we know where tax rates are today. Why not take advantage of those, knowing that even the Congressional Budget Office is saying that taxes need to double for simply to pay for the things we've already promised, which I mentioned. The promises, of course, are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt, and that it's only getting higher. So currently, the Congressional Budget Office projects that the federal budget deficit will shrink to $1 trillion, and that's where you have to get caught up into the words. When they say, we're going to reduce the deficit, well, it was $2.8 trillion last year. So now it's going to be a trillion. So yes, they reduced it by 1.8 trillion. But then they go on to say the average annual shortfall of what we're bringing in versus what we're spending is 1.6 trillion annually from the year 2023 through 2032. The deficit continues to decrease as a percentage of GDP next year as spending relates to the coronavirus pandemic, all that kind of stuff goes away. And that is the narrative that's being sold. It used to be that we would look at our debt to GDP and no one wanted it to be over 100%. And then it became 180%. And, you know, who knows where that became? Well, then they said, no. We need to start looking at it as part of our annual output. And that's how it's been sold. So that's only, you know, 10% of our annual output. So they're kind of looking at it as a debt to income ratio now to sort of satisfy people to say, no. It's fine that it's that high. But when you literally look at the size of our economy, you look at the debt that we have, the projected debt to be substantially higher, more than double where we are over the next 10 to 20 years. I mean, if you think about it, $30 trillion, if you add another $10 trillion or more, if it's 1.6 on average, it's going to be more than that. You'll be at $45, $50 trillion in the next 10 years. And that's if they get their math even close to right. The other thing they've already came out with was a schedule of anticipated interest rates, right? So if they say the 10-year, they say is going to average 2% over the next few years, and then 2.5%, and then it may even drop after that. Remember, figures lie pretty easily, especially when you're talking about trillions of dollars and just a few percentage points. But if you think that interest rates are going to be much higher, and they are projected to be that, at least here in the short run, then our cost of borrowing increases significantly. So bottom line is, debt's out of control, revenues are at peak right now, we're still running $1 trillion deficits, so why in the world would they propose to delay required minimum distributions to age 75 when they're so desperately in need of our money? Well, let's talk about who takes their RMD. Like, who actually says, oh my gosh, I don't need any money for my IRA or 401k, I'm going to wait until my required distribution? Well, it's usually the people with the most money. Folks that have smaller IRAs normally need it to live on, so they don't really worry about the RMDs because they take enough to satisfy it already. So who has the largest retirement accounts? It's the baby boomers. Who are the baby boomers? Most of you listening are probably a baby boomer. Well, that's folks like my dad, born in 1946, all the way to 1964. The peak of the boomers, if you adjust for immigration, born between 57 and 61. And there's a lot of them. And right now, folks, even though we have $30 trillion in debt, there is over $30 trillion of retirement funds sitting out there waiting to be picked for the IRS to pay for all this. And that's been my narrative the whole time. Like, is it coincidental? Probably is. But this is projected to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So not only do your retirement accounts get bigger, but the debt problem gets bigger. So let's talk about how old they are now. So if you're born in 57, you are 65 this year. If you're born in 61, you're 61 years old this year. So here's where the math starts to get interesting. The total amount of IRAs and 401ks are projected to be around $80 trillion at the end of 10 years. And the largest percentage of those dollars are sitting with people that are in that age bracket of 70 to 75 at the time. So 10 years from now, the folks born in 1957 will be 75, right? RMD age starts. The folks that were born in 1961 will be close to 70. So for that next 5 years, as you have $40, $50 trillion pushing through the system, and now they say, now we are going to force you to take money out of these really large retirement accounts, they're forcing it out at a tax rate and a speed that is completely unknown to any of us. Now, you understand that, right? So we're just going to let these retirement accounts go ahead and get big, 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 so that when it's time for them to pluck it at age 75, we've let them get bigger. And by the way, their life expectancy is now shrunk down. So a 75-year-old, maybe they expect them to live another, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Well, guess what? When they die, that money gets inherited by their kids or grandkids. If you leave it to charity, of course, there's no tax due. But when the kids get it, if you've already started your RMDs under the new rules, you have to keep taking an RMD. People think that the stretch went away. Yeah, the stretch went away, being able to stretch it over your life expectancy. But if you inherit a retirement account after the required beginning date, you must continue to take those RMDs out of that account for the 10-year period that you have, and then all of it has to come out in 10 years. So do you see where this math starts to add up to where you think, wow, these guys aren't dummies after all. They're going to let these retirement accounts continue to grow tax-deferred, become enormous, begin forcing people to take the distributions at an unknown tax rate. And by the way, when they die and their kids inherit that, it's just a continuation of the situation that I just discussed. So let's take a brief moment and talk about what we've been doing, what we continue to do, and what we should be doing. Okay, so we have been taking a tax deduction on these retirement accounts for years at a known rate, right? You know what tax rate you're in, you put the money in, you receive that tax deduction. The funds grow tax deferred, and then you pull it out down the road at an unknown tax rate, and that's when you pay your tax. We've been basically getting lent money along the way. So in other words, they're like, here's your tax deduction now, we will get it back later. It's just a loan, that's all it is. Okay, you're not gonna make me pay the tax now, so you're really loaning me this money to grow, and then I hope that I owe you less in the future. That's the math that does not work. Most Americans have done nothing to change what they've been doing. They continue to do the same thing over and over, I guess hoping for a different result, hence the word insanity. But most just don't even know. They're not educated. And that's why I encourage you, if you are what I call a AAA person, number one, you have assets. You have assets because, you know, you've done the right thing. You have situations you have to deal with because you have assets. Number two, you have an attitude of goodness. You are a nice person, a kind person, a sharing person. That brings me to the last A of advocacy. You are an advocate. You're not just an advocate for this podcast or other things around, but you're just an advocate in general that people look up to, and that you can push information to them to help them take care of themselves, their family, their communities in the future. The other thing, part of Secure Act 2, is to increase auto enrollment. You know, a lot of people don't ever even get into their retirement plans, but just like I spoke about at the faculty club at Harvard back in, I believe, 15 on the retirement crisis in America, I was pushing for this hard of auto enroll, auto escalate, auto investment selections based on age, increase catch-up provisions. But here's my problem with the auto enrollment. Yeah, part of the Secure Act 2 is to really push this thing, including auto escalate. So I applaud that. But guess what? The auto enroll always sends people to the wrong side of the pasture. They put their money over there to pay this tax on the harvest. They're not paying tax on the seed. I think for auto enrollment, especially for new people coming in to the system, why in the world would you ever put the money in the pay tax later when you're going to be at a much higher tax rate down the road? You're a new school teacher. You're a young fellow like my son. You're not making a lot of money. You're in a low tax bracket. Pay the stinking tax now. Never pay it again. It's interesting that they're leaning towards forcing the additional catch-up opportunities as part of Secure Act 2. So yeah, they have said, okay, we're going to allow you, if you're over 50, to put even more in than what you have in the past. But there's a catch. You're going to have to put it to the Roth side. Now, that should tell you that they're saying we can't afford to have any more money being put away tax-deferred today. So those that have a lot of money, we're going to make you pay the tax now. But guess what? They're doing you a huge favor. They're forcing you to do something you should be doing anyway. Now, most people should be putting their money away by paying the tax now and never pay the taxes again. Let it grow tax deferred, pay it out tax free. Don't forget your employer is putting plenty of money away for you to pay the tax on later. That match that you get, that goes into the tax later side. So don't worry, you'll have money to pay tax on. But what should you be doing right now to mitigate this future obligation of paying massive amounts of tax? Well, you should be analyzing, where are you in the tax brackets? Are you in the 12, 22, 24% area? Most of you are. Most of you take the standard deduction. Now, as you get into the 32 to 37% bracket, soon to be the 39.6 once this thing sunsets, then it gets a little more tricky and you might need a more, you know, more coordinated and complex strategy to get yourself in a better tax position. So what does that mean? That means that I need to pull income forward through Roth conversions. And I don't care whether you're 40 or 65, regardless of where you are, if you're still working or if you're even, you know, 10 years from RMD age, what a great opportunity to say, you know what? You're right, Dave. I'm sitting here in the 22% tax bracket. I could move over a significant amount of my money, pay the tax now, never pay it again, especially when the market's down. The markets have been down. Great opportunity to take advantage of this and make lemonade out of lemons. But even if you're in the 24% bracket, it doesn't matter. Go back and listen to previous podcasts. We encourage people to understand how our tax system works and take full advantage of it. So with the Secure Act 2 and the RMDs likely to be pushed back to 75, again, believe it or not, not everyone in Washington is a bunch of dummies. They understand demographics. They get math. They are very, very aware of where your retirement accounts are likely to go. They understand the lowest hanging fruit of all are these retirement accounts. And the larger the account balances become, the larger the government share becomes. So paying off your partner now, which is that IRS, I call them the blood-sucking partner, who put nothing in your retirement plan but have a stake in it. And currently, you know exactly what that stake is because it's the tax rates. It's the 22, the 24, even the 32, 37. Doesn't matter. You know what you are up against. You don't have to do it all. Do something, though, to move some of that money from taxable forever to tax-free forever. Right? And that's how you have to handle this thing. So what have we been doing all along? Doing what we thought we should. Put money away, get a tax deduction, grow tax deferred, thinking we'll be in a lower tax bracket down the road. What are we still doing? We're still doing the same thing we've always done as Americans. We're putting too much money away tax deferred by getting that tax deduction up front. And even the new law is not doing anything to help us about that problem unless you are in the catch-up side. And then the last thing is what you should be doing, and that's making some moves right now, pulling income forward, paying tax off at these low rates. So if you'd like to talk about how we can help you navigate any of these complicated issues, please go to cfci.us and contact us to set up your complimentary call or give us a call, like I said, at 812-334-3190, and we will make it happen. Next week, I'll continue to beat on this a little bit on, hey, here is the narrative. You can't ignore it. You got to embrace it. You got to do something about it. Have a great one, everyone. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025 The Final Drive, into www.cfci.us and clicking on 2025 The Final Drive.